You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Are you still there? To delete your message, press 7. To save it in the archives, press 9. To hear more options, press 0.
What are you talking about?
What's good, everybody? Welcome back to the Battle for LA podcast, part of the Clutch Points Network. As always, Tomer Zarley here, your LA Clippers reporter, here with Ryan Ward, our Lakers reporter. We're in week 6 of the NBA season, I want to say. I believe week 6. I'm doing the NFL style here.
Yeah.
Both LA teams.
16 games for the Lakers, at least.
Yeah, I think six. I think we're week 6, out, yeah.
17.
We're about 6 weeks into the season. Both the Lakers and Clippers are hot. But we're going to start off with fire.
Red hot. So hot right now.
We're going to start off with the team that's... You ever watched a super hot fire video?
No.
You never seen it? No. I'll show it after. We'll start off with the super hot, red hot Lakers right now. Winners of 8 in a row. 8 in a row for the Lakers. 3-0 in the last week. They beat the Oklahoma City Thunder, Memphis Grizzlies, and San Antonio all on the road.
Kind of tough games, actually. They eked out pretty much every one except for last night, I want to say.
3-point win over the Thunder.
The Memphis one.
1-point win over the Memphis Grizzlies, where Memphis had multiple chances to take the lead. Late in that game, Ja Morant was spectacular. And then San Antonio Spurs, they won. They beat the Spurs by 10 last night. I couldn't watch that game because I was busy watching the Rams get spanked by Lamar Jackson and the Ravens.
Yeah, that was embarrassing.
But yeah, the Lakers moved to 15-2. Brian, I mean, the Lakers just stay hot.
Championship, I would say. No, they haven't really faced anybody. Like we were talking earlier, like, you look through this schedule and there's nobody really that, I mean, outside of Toronto, who they lost to, and I'd say Miami might be one of their best wins because they were able to keep them in check. They only scored 80 points, kind of showed how good defensively they are against even a good team, a good playoff team. So, but all these other, I mean, I knew coming in this beginning of the season schedule was going to be cake for them. I mean, obviously, they had a speed bump with the Clippers in the first game of the season, but then they rebounded pretty quickly against Utah. The game against Dallas was arguably probably one of the most entertaining.
That was a fun one, yeah.
Yeah. Then Clippers played Dallas next, correct? Or tonight, right?
Yeah, Clippers play the Mavericks tonight. that should be a fun one.
Luka.
Yeah.
Better MVP candidate than Kawhi right now?
Probably.
Think so?
He's been carrying them. He's been absolutely insane. Carrying them.
That kid is way better than anybody expected at this point. And he's got to be arguably top 10 for sure. Top 5?
What, MVP candidate?
Or just player in the
league? Oh, player in the league now?
I mean, can you name?
No, he's top 10. I think he's top 10.
Top 10?
I mean, he's handling teams easily. Yeah, he's doing it with ease. He's carrying that team. They just beat the Houston Rockets in Houston on Sunday. That was impressive. But I think MVP wise, Luka's up there. LeBron is probably up there.
They're 11-5.
Yeah, they're right behind the Lakers and Clippers.
Wow.
But the Lakers, I mean, yeah, we talk about their schedule. They've faced, I mean, we're talking Grizzlies.
They've got a tough test coming up. I mean, they've got New Orleans, who they should handle, even with all the AD and Josh Hart, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram stuff. Washington, they should handle, unless that becomes kind of a trap game coming off a road trip. Dallas, who will give them a run, but I still think they should win. And then it gets tough. It gets Denver, Utah, Portland, Minnesota. And then they're back on the road again for, what do we got, 5 games here? And there's some tough ones in there. Orlando, they should handle, Indiana. But they got Miami, Atlanta, Indiana, Milwaukee, Denver, Clippers. I mean, that stretch heading into like the Christmas break and all that, Milwaukee, Denver, Clippers, Portland, Dallas, Phoenix, all in a row. And then New Orleans, them finally coming to Staples.
Yeah, that'll be...
That's going to be a tough stretch.
December's going to be tough for them. I think it'll be tough for them. It might see a few more losses here and there.
You might. I mean, in most of that game, most of next month's going to be on the road. They only got 5 games at home, and one of those is Christmas Day. So,
I mean, you're not expecting sweeps, right? I mean, they're gonna lose some games here.
No, they go. Yeah, they're gonna. But I mean, they've shown to be pretty damn resilient as long as they can stay healthy. I mean, that's the key here: stay healthy, and this team's going to be really, really tough to beat. I think they miss Bradley a bit, but not so much to where it's making them fall off, you know, which is impressive.
I mean, so far over the last 3 games, I mean, the ones that the Lakers have won, I mean, the last week, LeBron's averaging 29 to 11 assists. AD's at 24, 5 assists, 9 rebounds. Let's talk about their third best score in the last week, though. A Lakers fan favorite, I want to say. Oh, should we just say top 3 clients? The top 3 players are all clutch clients in scoring the last week?
No.
Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, their third leading scorer in the last week, averaging 14 points on 59% shooting and 66% from 3.
He's, you know what, he heard all the flack. People give him a lot of shit to start the season, and justly so. I think he's just kind of used it as motivation. He's turned it around, you know? I mean, whether or not he can keep it up is a big question, but, I mean, he's done enough to where he's kind of quieted the critics a little bit.
Is it enough to, you know?
Never. I mean, the one thing I realized about this team is in the last 6 years, there's always been multiple problems, multiple people struggling, rookie mistakes. I mean, that was another thing I was going to say later was one thing I noticed about the team now is you don't get those mistakes of young players, right? You don't get them messing up inbound plays on you know, key possessions in the end of games.
Yeah.
It's all veteran savvy, you know, guys that know what they're doing, championship experience, Danny Green, LeBron. And it's just different. The switch has totally been flipped.
Well, I mean, according to, I think it's NBA Math, this Twitter page on NBA Math.
NBA Math.
Yeah. I mean, they got the strength of schedule pretty much ironed out. And, you know, for example, like the Hawks have the toughest schedule and they've also had the worst results. The Lakers have had a relatively easy schedule and very strong results. Some of the toughest schedules so far have been Hawks, Cavs, Pelicans, Clippers, Raptors, Bucks. As we know, the Clippers, Raptors, and Bucks have been playing really well. The Lakers have been playing really well, but like we just talked about in the schedule, they've got a lot of tough teams coming up. We'll see if they can maintain that. Bradley's expected to be out until when?
I'm not sure. It's a, what is it, a hairline fracture, right?
I think they're going to reevaluate him after Thanksgiving, I think is what they said.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the way that they're playing, they don't have to rush him back. Kind of like with Paul George with the Clippers. I mean, obviously completely different positions and completely different values, but there's no reason to rush him back. And, then, you know, you got guards that you can use, you know?
So let's talk about this. You know, obviously the Pelicans are the guys they're going to face next. Safe to say, I mean, Josh Hart, for example, Josh Hart said that it was a win-win for both sides. Win-win for
the trade.
Yeah, the Anthony Davis trade.
I think it is. I mean, because you look at the Pelicans, they may not be great right now, but you're starting to see Brandon Ingram, what he can do as the guy.
They've also been really injured.
Yeah.
Zion hasn't played yet. Lonzo's missed games.
Potentially your best player on the floor to get this whole thing started is devastating. But I think they're just super young, super talented, and they just need some time. Just like they would have, you know, in LA. They just needed some time. And then for the Lakers, obviously, they turn into an instant contender. Potentially, you know, the best team in the league right now.
Yeah, I think, you know, we knew LeBron and AD were going to be good.
Well, we didn't know how good they were going to be together, right? Like, because people would, you know.
But these two are so good that they're going to figure it out.
Yeah, but sometimes it doesn't work. Dwight Howard, Kobe Bryant, all the talent they had then.
But Kobe was not much of a facilitator, I'll just say that.
Well, yeah, but
Dwight really needed the ball.
He got it working with Powell.
Yeah, but again, I don't know if Powell was. It was different types of players, though. Dwight didn't really have a go-to
move.
That's
what I'm saying. Like you, when that happened, everybody thought it was instant title contender. They're scary good. Steve Nash, you know, like all that, but it didn't work. Didn't even come close to working.
I wasn't worried about it. I just knew, you know, LeBron's willing to do whatever it takes, and especially now that he has a number one guy on his team,
there's been no feeling out process here. There's been no chemistry bumps in the road. There's been no... It's just worked.
Well, again, the schedule has been in their favor.
But sometimes it doesn't even matter.
The real chemistry comes out.
You're playing with a whole other group of players. These guys have never played with each other.
That's true. But the chemistry, the real chemistry comes out when you faced two losses in a row, when you're on the road for a while.
No, I agree.
That's when it really comes out. That's when you learn how to play together.
But if you don't even build this up in the first place, then it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Like you have to have some kind of... The ups and downs are coming. There's going to be some stretch here where it's going to all of a sudden they're going to lose two, they're going to lose three, and people are going to start panicking, and the finger will start to get pointed at Frank Vogel for sure. But they've just been so much better than anyone anticipated, I think.
This is a day to remember, December 6th. Carmelo Anthony, LeBron James, they play one another.
Oh, yeah, Portland?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I always felt like the Pelicans probably got a piece too many for Anthony Davis, because they gave away what, 5 picks?
I can't remember.
I think it was a few picks and a few pick swaps.
I think they also got Hart. Was big, and then the Clippers topped it for Paul George.
Yeah, the Clippers topped it for Paul George.
They threw in another first rounder, I think, or maybe two.
Two of the picks weren't their own, though. Two of them were, I think one was Miami's or something like that. Yeah.
Still, like, they used it.
Yeah, no, they did. They did. But as you see, Miami's good. So that pick will probably be like a number 20 pick right now. So not, maybe. I mean, it's good, but it's not totally great. I just felt like the Lakers probably could have kept Ingram and given up Kuzma because you're seeing what Ingram can be when he's got
but
the opportunity.
You're also seeing how injury prone all those guys that they sent over there are. They've all missed games. And even though Kuzma started the season missing games, he only missed 4. And I think since then he missed, what, 1 with the eye thing? He got scratched.
I don't think he missed a game for that. He just left mid-game, yeah.
And he's got the glasses or the goggles or whatever now.
Kareem.
But all those guys, like Hart, Ingram, Lonzo Ball, they've all missed games, and they've all had times where they're probable, questionable. Like, was it today that Lonzo got sent home? Because
stomach
he was sick.
Virus.
Yeah. Like, he might not play tomorrow. It's just, that's what you get with these guys. Like, I mean, even Lonzo, Lonzo sprained his ankle twice walking up the floor?
Yeah,
earlier in the season?
I think he got a cramp. And it was just something caused him to roll. Like, I don't know.
20-year-old kid. Like, really? I mean, the Lakers saw a lot of that too when they were here. And the talented kids, they're just kind of prone to getting banged up.
Well, hopefully Anthony Davis can stay healthy. Right now the Lakers are working him like crazy.
Oh, yeah, that's true too. I mean, he's been prone to getting banged up as well. But
there were a lot of injury-prone players involved in that deal.
Yeah, that's true. This is true.
Yeah, as we mentioned earlier, though, the Lakers in the next week will be facing the Pelicans on the road, then coming home for Washington on Friday, Dallas on Sunday, Luka Doncic.
And it's an early game, that one, 1 o'clock.
Yeah, and then Denver on Tuesday, a week from today.
That's an early one too, 6.
Yeah, 6 p.m. Moving over to the Clippers side, they also went 3-0 this past week. They had a bit of a different week though. They got Paul George and Kawhi Leonard back. We got to see them in action for the first time against the Boston Celtics, I believe it was. Yeah, Boston Celtics. That game went to overtime.
That was a really good game, right, from what you were saying?
That was a really good game, yeah. Lou Williams hit a go-ahead shot, then 2 free throws to put him up 3, and then Jason Tatum crossed over Paul George. Pretty nasty move, actually. And then
some people were saying finals preview.
Yeah, it's possible, yeah. I mean, the Celtics look good right now. Kemba was held in check, and they still made it a close game. Kawhi and PG look good in that game. You know, they're going to have their rough patches. I think they're still figuring out where to play with one another on the court.
Well, that's the one thing that's different between LeBron and AD. LeBron can play every position on the floor, whereas Kawhi and Paul George are kind of limited to only maybe a couple spots. Small forward, shooting guard.
I mean, they can play the four. They've played with Kawhi at the four before. They haven't. I mean, they have Lou Will bringing the ball up whenever he's in there. But all of them can bring the ball up. All of them can facilitate. All of them can create.
Well, I just mean they're not as they're basically the same type of player, right?
Oh, Kawhi and PG.
Yeah. So well, see, can see shoot, what it is can play defense
when Paul is in. Well, when Kawhi and Paul are playing together, at least early on, Paul's been more of a deep threat, like a 3-point threat.
I was going to say, hanging Kawhi works in the corner, on top of the perimeter.
Yeah, Kawhi does most of his damage inside the paint, inside the 3-point line, from mid range in the paint. Well, Paul's more of a deep threat, and then once Kawhi sits out, it's basically just Paul running the offense or Lou Will running the offense, and then they go from there. They have a nice little 1-2 punch going on so far.
You got three guys who can score 30 points a night.
In the last week and a half, they had Paul George hit a game winner against OKC.
Mm-hmm.
It was a go-ahead shot. They had Pat Beverly hit the 2 clutch threes against the Celtics to put them ahead and win that game.
And they flop for the ages.
And a flop for the ages.
Which game was that? Was that Boston?
They had a flop. The flop, there was flop in Boston game and the Houston game.
He had 2 flops.
He got a warning for the Boston game and then a fine after the Houston game.
It was 35K, wasn't it?
No, it was 5K.
Oh, no. What am I thinking of? Oh, that was Rondo that got 35K.
Yeah, for punching Schroeder in the nuts.
Well, not punching.
Or kicking him. Yeah.
The back of his, you know, it was like his hamstring. Oh, it was totally intentional.
Okay, okay.
You watch it once and you're like, okay.
Why did you?
He totally did that. 35K, though. That's pretty steep.
It's a lot of money. But yeah, so they had the game winner by Paul, a couple clutch shots by Patrick, and then they had Kawhi's game winner over PJ Tucker and the Rockets. That was a fun game. That was a really fun game. Houston went up 5 with about a minute to go.
I could see that being a playoff series.
I think that'll be a Western Conference Finals preview right there.
Yeah, it'd be a good one. Oh, preview?
Oh, Ryan just caught on.
Just came around.
Yeah, I don't know if Houston will make it that far, though. But yeah, that was fun. And then they sort of just, you know, wiped the floor with the Pelicans the other night. They were shorthanded. The Pelicans were. And then the Clippers, other than Landry Shamet, have been healthy. So
that's something a lot of people are going to say all season long. They were shorthanded.
It sucks, though, because I wanted to see Zion, but he's still a couple weeks away.
I think they'll eventually just shut him down, right? I mean, why rush him back?
I think David Griffin has said that he'll play this year. That they're not shutting him down. So we might
see
too
many season tickets sold then, huh?
Yeah, they'd be a little disappointed if that happened. But the Clippers so far, I mean, they've played 12 home games. They're 11-1 at home. Best home record in the NBA. I mean, in terms of games played. There's a couple of, I think, 4-0 teams, but I mean, I guess record-wise, they're the better team because they're undefeated. But 11-1 at home is pretty insane.
Pretty good. It's a lot of home games too, though.
A lot of home games. December is full of road games. They have, I think they play 9 of the next 11 on the road. They start, you know, tonight in Dallas, Wednesday night against Memphis, the back-to-back. So Kawhi will probably sit one of those games. Then they get San Antonio, final game of a 3-game road trip on Friday. They come back for 2 home games, Washington Sunday and Carmelo Anthony's Blazers on Tuesday. Yeah, I'm no longer calling him Dame or CJ's Blazers. It's Melo's Blazers.
But yeah, they were 25 points the other night.
25 and 8.
And he shot 50%.
And a nice little dunk on, I think he shot 10 of 18, I think.
Okay.
He dunked on Wendell Carter Jr. That was nice. And then they hit the road again after that two-game homestand. They have, what is this, a six-game road trip there. At Milwaukee, at Washington, at Indiana, at Toronto. Kawhi Leonard gets his NBA championship ring December 11th. Then the final two games of that trip are at Minnesota and at Chicago. That's a back-to-back, so expect Kawhi and/or PG to sit one of those games. And they'll come back home for a couple games there after that.
It's got to be an awkward experience, right? Getting a championship ring for a team that you just left. And left them kind. Well, I mean, not hanging because they're still pretty good, but like, it's got to be awkward.
Yeah, I think it is a little weird.
But then again,
no player I think ever won the Finals MVP has left the team that he won with. Like, I've never seen that before, and I'm pretty sure it's never happened before.
Maybe
who won Finals MVP? They never left their team.
Well, I mean, we're not even like going down the list here or anything, so.
Well, this player movement only started like 10 years ago.
Yeah, and but it's, there, I mean, players have left teams before. I was going to say, but Shaq was there for 2 years after that.
They lost in 04. Yeah. And, no one in recent memory or has ever done that. So I think that'll be an interesting game. I'm excited to see Luka, this Luka matchup.
I love watching
The other day, Paul and Kawhi both said he's the head of the snake. They praised him, said, you know, he's in the MVP conversation. What he's doing at his age is insane. He's 20 years old. I think he's turning 21 in March.
The crazy thing is he's getting LeBron comparisons to when LeBron came in or when LeBron was 20, right? Because Luka's 20. Right?
Yeah, he's turning 21
in March. Luka can't even buy a beer and he could be MVP.
He's been doing this for years, though. He's been playing pro basketball in Spain.
No, I'm still saying, like, that doesn't mean it's going to transcend over to the NBA.
Yeah. Yeah, no. It doesn't.
I mean, when has that ever actually happened? Never, right? I mean, there's been great players that have come, you know, Ginobili and Pau Gasol, Marc Gasol.
Yeah, but they're never as highly,
Exactly. They've never been top-tier
rated
player.
As this, yeah, yeah.
Or an MVP candidate.
It's making the Kings and Suns look like absolute fools for not drafting him.
Well, and the Hawks, too.
The Hawks got Trae Young. And they got the pick, which turned into, I believe, DeAndre Hunter.
Is Trae Young ever going to be an MVP?
He might be. You see what he's doing?
No, he's great, but I mean, he's not changing the way Atlanta is.
That's also
successful.
Because the media isn't covering them as much, and they're not winning as much.
They got smashed by the Clippers by 49, and then they got smashed by almost 40 against the Lakers.
They lost by 20 to the Lakers, not 40.
Well, he could have lost by 40, but then the Lakers pulled it back.
And you know how it is. It's the Hawks were in LA for, I think it was the whole weekend. And you know what a weekend in LA does to young teams when you got as many things to do, as many distractions as they have for a whole weekend. They were here Friday, they were here Saturday, they were here Sunday night.
Well, Luka doesn't seem to have a problem when he comes here.
Look, I mean that maybe they have the right veterans there. I don't know. I will say Vince Carter also wasn't on that trip, so maybe they let loose a little more because he wasn't there.
Both off, right? We were both trying to get a hold of him, talk to him for a little bit.
Yeah, trying to get him for a couple minutes. Last game potentially at Staples Center, and well, I guess his last game was technically last year now. So,
that
Hawks game was a different thing, but I think the Hawks and Mavs both won that trade. I think it's fair to say that. There was no loser.
I mean, they're not devastated. It's not like they got Michael Bennett or, you know, like some... Michael Bennett's the guy that went number one, right? The Cavs.
Anthony Bennett?
Anthony Bennett. See, I didn't even remember his friggin' name.
That's the NFL guy.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I'm getting all mixed up. Jesus, I need a vacation.
I think you need a nap.
Yeah.
I think you know what
I'm saying, right? It's not Hashim Thabeet. It's not.
Yes. No.
They didn't totally miss.
No. That's probably as much of a win-win as the AD trade, if not more of a win-win. Because both teams got their stars.
No, it is probably more of a win-win because you don't know what you're going to get, right? But it's so far, it looks tremendous. Really good.
It's tremendous.
Especially for incredible. Dallas.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. There's one thing that I thought was interesting that was said by a 16-time champ. 16-time champ. Cheers. Scottie Pippen thinks that LeBron may possibly be playing in his prime right now. I was wondering what you thought about that, considering that you've watched LeBron throughout his whole Cavs tenure and Miami, which some people would argue was his prime.
He still looks fresh. He still looks super fresh. And I think that's what an entire offseason will do for you when you've played, eight finals in a row?
And half a season last year.
Yeah. He did come back for that half season, but...
He was checked out.
Yeah, he was injured. Yeah, he looks like he's... Towards the end of his prime, yes, but he still looks good because he's doing whatever he wants on the court. I mean, I think you've mentioned it before, but he may be missing those little layups here and there. Mm. But other than
it's an old guy thing. Like, it's like I played ball yesterday, right? I couldn't make a layup. I used all my energy to get free
the basket.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I used to have a sick finger roll. I used to be able to just go both sides. Reverse, anything. Now it's like I get to this point and I just lose all energy. And it's like my body just says, nope, not anymore.
I think LeBron's, the workload he has is not as, he doesn't have to carry as much. I will say I do like the one thing he's developed that teams still haven't figured out a way to stop. Whenever he looks down at the ball in his hand.
Now that's bullshit because I saw he did that the last game and he missed.
Dude. He makes a lot of them.
Yeah, but see how you instantly change it? Like, it goes from, he makes it every time to, he makes a lot of them now.
I've rarely seen him miss
that. People went nuts when he banked the three and act like he meant to do it. Well, first of all, that is the dumbest shot.
Where did he bank it from?
It was the far side. The far side from the camera angle, near the bench, right?
It was the corner?
Yeah. And he banked it. He had plenty of space. The guy didn't really get up on him too much. He's falling back a little bit. And he just banked it from the high side of the glass, dude. I'm like, dude, he missed that terribly.
Meant to make that happen.
Terribly.
Definitely meant to bank that.
And then
that.
He got asked after the game whether or not he meant to do it. And he totally admitted, yeah, no, I did not mean to do that. But people jumped on it like, oh, well, LeBron's a god. He can do that. It's why would you even attempt a bank three from the side? That's the dumbest shot ever. Makes no sense. If I was a coach, I'd say, sit your ass down for even trying that, you dumbass. Because that game was close at that point.
Oh, if he was intentionally trying
If
that.
It was intentional, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no.
But everybody jumped on it like, oh, wow, amazing. It's like, you're all sheep.
Yeah, no, I wasn't.
Really?
But yeah, I don't see why LeBron wouldn't be in his sort of prime because he's just playing out of his mind. He's still leading the league in assists. He can give you 35, 40 if he needs to.
I wouldn't say it's his prime. I would say he's in a position where it's a lot easier to do what he's best at, right? Like, he's got AD that takes a huge load off him.
It's a high-paced, fast-paced game.
He's got veterans. He's got shooters. He's got everything he needs. He got Kyle Kuzma to come off the bench and get 20. Like, he's just – it's a very well – put together team that people didn't think was a well put together team in the beginning, and now it's showing like these are the kind of the perfect pieces around him. Imagine if they had Iggy on top of all of this.
That'd be insane. Yeah,
like insane. Legit. Like Meta said last week, like, oh, they could win 70 games. That would be realistic. It may still be realistic now.
We'll see. They got to get to this rough stretch of them. We'll see. Lastly, aside from Lou Will, Kawhi Leonard, and Paul George. Montrezl Harrell has been playing really well for the Clips off the bench, averaging 19 points in the last week for them. I think he's around 18 on the season. He just had a career high 34 points off the bench against the Pelicans. He's been doing it all season for them, and I just wonder if he could actually win Sixth Man of the Year, even though he's playing with Lou Williams.
Really?
I mean, he's been playing out of his mind.
But you got to do that pretty consistently all year long, though.
So, Trez is averaging 19 points, 7.5 rebounds, 2.5 assists, and a block a game. A block and a steal a game off the bench.
What's Lou
Average? Lou's at 22 points, 5 assists right now off the bench. So I, the only thing I say is, you know this is a fact. People get voter fatigue.
For what?
Voter fatigue. People voter fatigue is a thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, like,
this guy's so dominant. Get voted
MVP every year, but...
He should. Like, there was a time where, I think it was 20...
Or like Jordan, and Karl Malone wins that one year. And you're like, that made no sense.
Yeah. Or there was a year Kobe should have won, and I think Steve Nash may have won it. I don't remember if that was
one of Steve Nash's two.
But yeah, I just wonder if you know, this could be a case of voter fatigue where Lou Will doesn't get the vote because he's won two in a row, three in the last, I think, six. And Tres comes out of nowhere and wins it. He's been phenomenal. He's shooting 60% off the bench.
I mean, he might, but I don't... This is the first I've heard of this. Like, anybody saying anything about it. So, I think there's not enough of a narrative for that.
Really?
So far? I mean, that could change.
It's all media-driven, though.
It is all
media-driven. So, the second, you know, if the Clippers go on a nice stretch here...
Well, the second this podcast comes out, that's it. I mean, it's game over. It's Trez gets the six-man of the
year. All right, so we're starting right now. Montrezl Harrell for six-man of the year.
You know Kuzma's just going to win it anyway.
Is Kuzma averaging 19, 8, 2, 1, 1 off the bench?
I'm not sure what Kuzma's averaging, but I know it's nowhere near that.
Kuzma, this season, is averaging 12 points... Three and a half rebounds. That's pretty much all worth mentioning. Not really steals. He's like 0.2 steals, 0.4 blocks.
Yeah, so. I think it's Lou Will, and there's probably a fairly big drop off after that. Right now. I mean, could you name another six man outside of Harrell? That's doing
outside of
anything?
Lou Will and Montrezl Harrell? Fred VanVleet is starting now. Dennis Schroeder maybe.
Really?
I mean, he's doing the scoring from off the bench. I mean, I don't know if he's going to be good enough to win, but he's doing a pretty good job so far. Let's see if I go. Oh. Right now, some of the guys leading the league in scoring off the bench. Lou Will's played. It's Lou Will and Montrezl Harrell. Devontae Graham for the Hornets. He's averaging 18 points off the bench.
Won't happen. They're not winning. Not exactly.
Derrick Rose, Spencer's starting now. Goran Dragic is playing well, 15 points off and 5 assists off the bench.
There's a dark horse right there.
It's possible. Bogdan Bogdanovic for the Kings. But again...
Unless those guys get traded.
But they're just not doing it at Lou Will and Montrezl Harrell's level.
You say voter fatigue, but I mean, you can't really deny what he does. He's a starter off the bench.
Yeah, I agree.
And he does it consistently. He's done it everywhere he's gone.
He's been even better since he got here, though. He led the team in assists last year.
That's
he led
crazy.
Them in scoring. he's just been phenomenal. So yeah, I think there's a good chance that Trez could end up being the guy that if anyone does, he'll be the guy that one-ups him. I think Lou Will actually wants him to win one. I think Lou Will's been like, if anyone wins it, I think he should win it.
Of course he's going to say that.
Last year, like I even asked Montrezl last year, I was like, hey, do you want six man? And he straight up was like, no, I want Lou Will to get that award. I don't want that award.
Well, okay, how many, Lou Will's got three right now?
Or? He's got three, he's won the last two.
So if he gets one more, is that more than anybody?
Yes.
Yeah, I think he wants that one.
I think he wants it too, but he's saying.
If he wins this, he goes down as the best six man of all time.
Here's the thing. I think last year, Trez wanted the most improved player award because he was the most improved player. He was
who
in the running.
I don't even remember.
He was in the running for most improved player, but I think it was Pascal Siakam who won, and he was incredible.
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah, I think it was him. I think D'Angelo was in the running for that as well, but I don't know if he really finished that high. It could happen this year, though. We'll see. I know that
Siakam get it again this year. He's gotten even better.
You think so? Is that possible?
No, I doubt it. I mean,
he's been incredible. But I think most of that is just because Kawhi and Danny Green are gone.
Well, yeah, but still, like
he's carrying
took on that role, and he's done it flawlessly.
Thriving. He's right? Thriving like, over there.
Yeah, I mean, he's arguably an MVP candidate. I mean, he won't get it unless, you know,
Toronto
just goes
finishes
on
top
crazy,
two in the East.
Yeah. Possibly. I mean, he'll be in the running. He'll get votes.
I think he has to finish with the incredible numbers, though. He's got to be at like 27 and 10 maybe to be in consideration.
it's not out of the realm of possibility. I mean, I don't know what his rebounding is like, but I know his scoring's there.
Well, that wraps it up for our episode of the Battle for LA podcast, part of the Clutch Points Network. You guys can, as usual, follow Ryan Ward on Twitter and Instagram at Ryan Ward LA. You can follow me, as usual, on Twitter and Instagram at TOMERAZARLY. That's my name.
That's your name.
Follow Clutch Points app on Twitter, Clutch Points on Instagram. And as always, you know, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, suggestions, reviews, leave all of them wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google Play, wherever.
And we will try to ignore every single one.
That's not true. We'll ignore some.
This is perfect.
If you guys want to interact with us on Twitter and Instagram, please do. We encourage it. Ryan hates everyone, but he might interact with you anyways.
If you're lucky.
That's pretty much it. I hope you guys enjoy this episode, and we'll be back next week. Hope everyone has a happy Thanksgiving. Just enjoy time with your family, friends.
Rough day for turkeys.
Don't get into too many arguments with family members.
Prayers up for the turkeys.
Are you okay?
Prayers up for the turkeys.
You really feel for these turkeys right now.
This is one white claw.
Trying to deliver a nice message.
Okay.
Yeah, enjoy Thanksgiving. Don't drink and drive. That's a bad idea.
Any other life lessons?
Well, once upon a time... No, I'm not going to do that. That's it for us. I hope you guys enjoy it. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
For the ones who get going when the going gets tough, and the ones who know we're tougher together. For the pathfinders breaking new ground, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as fast access to experts and 24/7 customer support. Because we know you have people depending on you, so you can always depend on us. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.